I want to talk to you for a little bit this morning about now is not the time for lukewarmness. Now is not the time for lukewarmness. My main thought behind it is the events that have been taking place, the world events. Like many of you, perhaps, I have an eye on what is happening in the Middle East and an ear of what is being said. As history takes a major turn, potentially a major component in the fulfilling of prophecy. I didn't realize all that was taking place while I was in North Caicos, but as we were flying home, before we flew home, I downloaded a bunch of the podcast that I listened to on politics. Ben Ferguson's the one that I listened to the most, and so I downloaded a bunch of those so that I could listen to them on the airplane, and I was shocked after several of those I'd listened to. I was shocked to hear how things had and what all has been going on. Brother Forbes, and some of you would remember Brother Forbes. He's been here before. He's a political junkie. And he paid way more attention to American politics while I was there than what I did. Way more. He listens to all of it. He listened to the president's State of the Union address. He was into all of that. But it really stirs our thinking, perhaps, when we think about the world stage and what is taking place. What does the Bible say about the future and about the end times? Now, I, for one, you probably understand and know that I don't get into the expression. I don't express personal beliefs and end time prophecies, but because it takes a diligent study to determine the timelines and the events yet to take place, and then I'm still not convinced of their accuracy. We can interpret and reinterpret, and two people can misinterpret the same passage. And so I think that for me, I'm just going to sit back and trust that God knows what He's doing. Can you do that? Can we do that? Trust what He is doing. Now, I am certain, it would certainly appear that the key players of the divine, the final divine drama, as somebody said, the final divine drama are taking their places on this world stage. Things are really starting to set up. As I mentioned, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to things when I was in Bottle Creek Camp or North Caicos there. But upon returning home, I realized, I heard that Israel is calling this operation Roaring Lion. Now that is deeply rooted in biblical symbolism. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, referencing the Lion of the Tribe of Judah as a lion or a figure of strength, of power, of stamina, calling it Operation Roaring Lion. Now, what I want us to focus on, what I want us to get this morning, no matter what takes place tomorrow, no matter what takes place in the week to come or the month to come or however it unfolds, I think that here is the substance for us as Christians, that we have a choice to make. You and I have a choice to make. The one choice that we have is for us to view the end time events through the eyes of fear, or we can view the end time events through the eyes of faith. You know, really has to do with what lens you want to look through. We all look through the lens that God has given us based on our experiences, based on who we are, where we've been, what we've had thrown at us or given to us. And so we look through those lenses at anything that happens, and that's why we have such a diverse opinion on things. Because we're looking at things through our lens. But here we have a choice of looking through the lens of fear or looking through the lens of faith. I don't know how much I need to say in that area. If we look through the lens of faith, if we look with eyes of fear, then perhaps we see very little reason for hope. But we would see an awful lot, an ample opportunity for fear, for anxiety. Sleepless nights that would come from anxiety. Or we have that choice, that choosing to look through eyes of faith or the lens of faith to realize that history, prophecy is inching closer and closer, bringing us to a new era, a heavenly destiny. I don't know where in age that a person begins to think, really begins to transition into the thought patterns of eternity. We raise our children with the idea that they are going to be Christians. We are raising them to be Christians. We dedicate them to God to be Christians. And therefore, it's just an automatic thing. They grow up anticipating that they're going to go to heaven, that they're going to serve Christ. They're going to be Christians and go to heaven. But somewhere along the line, at some point in a person's life, they have to transition to realize that this is a personal choice, that there is a decision to be made to follow Christ or to walk away from Christ. I can't get to heaven on the coattails of my parents. My kids aren't going to get to heaven on the coattails of their parents. And my grandkids are not going to get to heaven on the coattails of their parents. It's a choice that is being made. And we do everything that we can to present them with the gospel and the plan of salvation. And we emphasize it over and over again. But it's the choice that is to be made. And how are we choosing this particular thing of looking through the lens of fear or looking through the lens of faith? It's one or the other. Now, sometimes we may sit back and not really pay a whole lot of attention to things, and so we think that we're in a neutral position or a neutral place. Don't have any fear or faith. But I don't know how much that really works, because we have to come to grips. We have to come to some decision for ourselves. Are we going to live by fear or faith? One writer said, and I quote him, "Between now and the end of this age, we can expect some severe instability. But we can also expect that we will arrive safely." He's speaking these words. He's writing these words from the eye of faith, if you please. He's writing these words with the anticipation that it's a Christian who is reading them, that we will arrive safely. In the midst of all the instability, in the midst of all of the troubled seas that you and I are called upon to endure, you and I, when we trust and look through the eye of faith, we can have confidence to know that we will arrive safely even through the most difficult adverse times. He goes on to say, "Let's be numbered among those who are looking toward the heavens, inviting our Savior to return and calling for His church in the great ingathering of the saints." I believe that troubling times or anxious times, if you want to put that thought to it, these kinds of times should stir our hearts to say along with the scriptural writer, come, Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. There's an anticipation of his return. And with that anticipation, we are living in that realm of anticipation. This particular individual goes on to say, let us be among those who pray for our leaders. Let's ask our Lord to bless decision makers with supernatural insight and faith. And lastly, let's pray that we can have the fragrance of Christ during a very troublesome time. Wow. Those are some good words for us today. Because quite easily it would be for us to look at the world stage and what is taking place and have a problem of looking at it through the lens of fear. But I believe this morning that God wants us to look through the lens of faith and have trust and confidence in him. It's easy for us to say, it's easy for me to say, I don't know what the future holds. But I do know who holds the future. That's easy to say. But it's a whole lot different for me to be able to trust in him, the sovereign one, knowing that he has entire knowledge of what's taking place, and he orchestrates and he works even when I can't see him, so that I can confidently sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. What does this mean for us then in this present day and in this present time? This means that we should be people of peace. I mean, we should be people of peace. There's turmoil all around us, but we should be people of peace. Live peaceably with all men. Pursue peace with all men. That is the call of God upon the church today. You and me today, we must be people of peace. We must be people of prayer. We must be people of prayer. Now let me get to the title. Now is not the time to be letting up. Now is not the time to be sliding back. Now is not the time to be moving away from the traditions of holiness or ignoring the need for careful living. Now is not the time to stop resisting the world's mold for conformity. Did you hear me? Brother Questenberry's message last Sunday evening was on point and timely. If you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to go listen to it. Decisions. The very minute decisions that we make. We could possibly think that this particular decision that I'm making today has no bearing on my direction and it doesn't have any bearing on my destination. But we must be very careful to understand that our decisions are making and setting a direction in our lives, and that direction is taking us to a destination. Careful living, throw it away, some people are saying. The mold of conformity, throw it, we'll just follow along. It's easier, it's more comfortable, we can be more complacent in our lives. We don't have to have this struggle going on where we are following a Christ who is leading us in a direction that is opposed to this world. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying that so often it's easy for us to step back and say, I don't want to have to die the deaths of the disciples. Oh my. These apostles that followed Christ, that lived with Christ, you tell me that I might have to suffer like that? Well, Jesus kind of told us pretty pointedly that all who live godly in this present age will suffer persecution. Well, I want to avoid that as best I can, but I can't. Simply because the call of holiness that God presents to me and presents to you is diabolical to this world and what it wants to do with us or with you. Now, it's easy. It's far too easy to see how a message like Brother Questenberry's last Sunday night would apply to somebody else. Their decisions. Because we can look on them and their decisions and see from a different vantage point and say, there is where they made a bad decision and it led them in this direction where we may not even understand that it was a decision or two before that that led them to that decision to where they had already begun that descent into the position to make that decision. You see, it's the insignificant things in our lives that we may not even realize how things are changing for us that is then changing in the direction of our lives. And then we are blinded to how our direction has changed. One area of concern that I have in our present situation and our present circumstances is that the entertainment industry has been able to put blinders on far too many people so that they cannot see the effects of their decisions when it comes to entertainment that this world has to offer. Let me divert here a little bit. Someone messaged me a video clip this week. I didn't understand why that person was sending me that clip. Didn't make any sense to me. It made so little sense to me that I didn't even listen or watch the entire clip. It just didn't have any bearing on me. But then I received a follow-up text with an explanation of a personal situation that made me then go back and watch the entirety of the clip to try to understand what this person was trying to say to me. And what that text was about was that person's kids had innocently been drawn into watching some certain movies only to have a follow-up from that decision to where that claim was that there was demonic issues in their lives and in their home. Now, I'm not much for blaming everything strange happening on demonic activity, but I am convinced that we don't have any idea what influences we are allowing into our homes when we allow ungodly people to present us with entertainment. We don't have a clue what is in the recesses of that entertainment that we are bringing into our home. And it's ungodliness that Hollywood presents. You say, well, I'm not watching the worst of the worst. Well, how much do we understand is behind the scenes in the best of the best that comes from an ungodly culture and an ungodly society? That we are opening ourselves up to whatever is in the recesses or in the shadows of that entertainment industry. We are bringing it right into our homes and feeding our minds with things we don't even realize what is there. I did a quick research. I didn't dig into it deeply. did a quick research on the movies that this person had mentioned, and I could not positively identify anything of special concern. Did you hear me? I could not positively identify anything of special concern with those particular movies that individual said that their kids had been watching and then was attacked with demonic issues. But listen to me. Is it the Dr. Joel Gregory that when he gets to a point like this, he says, come near to me, come near, come close. Hear me. Hollywood is not a friend of grace. And I think it's time for us to begin to think it's possible, if not probable, that Hollywood is an enemy of grace. Not only am I concerned about the conditions of our entertainment and the avenues through which we travel for entertainment in our culture today, but I'm also concerned about what is going on with Sunday activities, the Lord's Day activities, and what we allow as the Lord's Day activities in our lives and the changes that it takes within us and the directions that it's beginning to point us in to. Are we following God or not? I'm concerned over and over again of how many times I hear of people who are no longer honoring their father and their mother. They believe in the 9 commandments, but this particular one seems to be laid aside. Honor your mom and dad. And somehow I fail to read it. In any time that commandment is given, I do not find an expiration date. Well, when your folks get 70, then they're just, maybe it's when they're 50. You know, start losing your mind at 50. Maybe some of us started that earlier than 50. But by the time we reach 60 or 70, you know, but the Bible doesn't give me an expiration. I don't know why I'm staying so long on this one. I did not intend to stay so long on this one. Modesty's an issue. From the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, it was an issue. It was a clear issue. Sinful humanity does not understand what it means. And the clothing industry is not a friend of grace. It is not a friend of biblical modesty. So what am I saying? I'm saying that now is not the time to slack off. Things are beginning to set up on the horizon, on the stage, the world stage. Things are happening and taking place. You and I, from seeing these things, should understand that now is not the time to slacken. Now is not the time to back off. Now is the time to intensify, if anything, intensify our pursuit of holiness. Now is the time to increase our hunger and thirst for godliness and for righteousness. Now is the time to seek after Him with an intensity that perhaps we've never sought after Him. The songwriter said, just one glimpse inside the home gate. Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 4:17 said, for our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Maybe I read that too fast. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's something better on the other side if we're careful to live for Him on this side. One glimpse of His dear face, all toil will erase. On the other hand, one moment in eternal damnation will be worse than anything of existence in our misery or peril or hardship on earth. Just one moment in eternal damnation. One moment of eternal damnation. We'll wish. One moment. I mentioned earlier that I preached last week on the wrath of God. Jesus drinking the wrath, the cup of wrath. I can assure you that Satan does not like that kind of preaching. I can assure you of that. I experienced the pressures of that. Someone might be listening to this morning and say, "Preacher, are you trying to manipulate me with fear tactics?" You know, I hear that nowadays. Oh, the fear tactics of manipulation. Trying to manipulate with fear. If only I could. But no, I'm not. Although the apostle does tell us very clearly that knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul didn't say knowing the goodness of the Lord there. He said knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In my most recent reading through the scriptures, I'm startled this time by the repeated warnings that are in the Bible. Repeatedly we find it. Repeatedly. Not the least of which is the warning of being lukewarm, found in the book of Revelation. Maybe you don't like the word lukewarm, maybe you like the word tepid. I like the word tepid. I look through the lens that God's given me, and the word tepid just seems to stand out better to me than lukewarm. You may not agree, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with you disagreeing. That word tepid, it just makes me cringe. And I think that's what Jesus is saying in the Revelation when he said that, "I wish that you were hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm," he's going to... Can I paraphrase the King James and just make it as gross as possible? He said, "I'm going to puke you up. I'm going to spew you out." Tepid is not hot or cold. Tepid is being settled in a comfortable state with one's surroundings. And I read of the warning where Jesus is telling us of the people that are knocking at the closed door. "Lord, open to me. Lord, open to me." Those people couldn't even, they didn't even profess that they were tepid Christians. They professed to be on fire. But somewhere along the line, they must have been tepid. They must have been lukewarm, because the response that came, the warning that came from Jesus was, "I don't know you." "Oh, but Lord, I've posted some good scripture on social media. I've posted some religious stuff on social media." "I'm sorry, I don't know you," he says. I don't agree with everything that John Piper says, but let me give you something that John Piper preached in a message that he entitled, "No One Born of God Makes a Practice of Sinning." John Piper, in his sermon, "No One Born of God Makes a Practice of Sinning," he said it this way: "You are slipping into a lukewarm, careless, presumptuous frame of mind in regard to your own sinfulness. You're slipping, you're drifting, you didn't even know it was happening. You realize you haven't thought about sin and you haven't been concerned about sin for a long time. You're kind of waking up and saying, 'Whoa, how did that happen?'" He said, "You're starting to be indifferent to whether you are holy or worldly. You are hot or cold. You become indifferent to it." What does that mean? What is he saying in between the lines there in reference to lukewarmness? What is he saying? You're not hot or cold. You're lukewarm, he's saying. You're indifferent. I don't know. Let me wrap this up. I don't know what this military engagement means to the end of times. I really don't. I don't understand how it fits into prophecy. But I am sure that now is not the time to let things slip. I'm confident of that. I wouldn't be standing up here talking like this if I was not confident of that very thing. I'm sure that now is not the time to slip. Now is the time to follow peace with all men in holiness. Now is the time to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now is the time to awake from our spiritual lethargy and shake off spiritual indifference. Now is the time to be vigilant against the world's attempt to squeeze you into its mold. Now is the time to strengthen Job's hedge around our families and our homes. Not to pipe in potential ungodliness to them. Job's hedge was made up of two plants, if you recall. He had two bushes that he planted as a hedge that Satan could not penetrate. Number one, he loved God with everything that he had. Number two, he hated evil with everything that he had. Anything that God called evil, he hated. That's pretty simple, and yet so complex. We make it complex. Charles Wesley said, I want a principle within of watchful, godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. I want the first approach to feel of pride or wrong desire, to catch the wandering of my will and quench the kindling fire. From thee that I no more may stray, no more thy goodness grieve. Grant me the filial awe, I pray, the tender conscience give. Quick as the apple of an eye, O God, my conscience make. Awake my soul when sin is nigh, and keep it still awake. I want a principle within. That is what's going to help us, keep us, preserve us. We can have faith. We can look through the lens of faith and know that we can trust Him. The sovereign, the ruler, the one that holds this entire world in His hand. We sang it as kids over and over again. Did you sing it? Can we sing it today? He holds the whole world in His hands. Let's stand together. Now's not the time for lukewarmness. Persevere, press on, seek Him. Look through the lens of faith, the eye of faith, trusting Him. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Don't forget practice tonight, young people and young adults, tonight at 5:30. So keep that in mind. Ben Bridges, would you dismiss us in prayer?